We can talk all around it and try and sound smart.
I try so hard.
Oh, stop it.
This is Talkin' Audio.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome inside another all new edition of the Talk In Audio podcast, coming to you from our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. My name, I was going to say my town is, I already did that, it's beautiful Bytown, Canada. My name is Matt Robinson, sitting across the table today from Leversage. What's going on, man?
Always good to be back. Your town's Ottawa. Okay, no one knows what Bytown is. You know what Bytown is because you live here. No one listening that is outside of Ottawa goes, oh, Bytown, yeah, that's Ottawa.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Okay.
So you live in Ottawa.
And The Rock means nobody.
Yeah. No, I mean, nobody's watching The Rock. Right. Okay. Good start.
Okay.
Got trade deadline. We got NHL moves. We got beer.
We do have beer. We are on social media at Talk In Audio. Mm-hmm. Love it if you follow us there on just about anywhere. You could follow us on the Blue Sky and the Threads. And at some point, we might be... We're on there. We're not doing anything there. They were supposed to be the next big thing. Lever hasn't quite paid.
Always wait a little bit after somebody tells you what the next big thing is.
But you still show up and plant your flag. You got to grab
the
handle.
No, you don't.
So what, we were going to be at Tall Can Audio 2 on Threads? Or because someone might have taken it, Lee. That it's a popular name.
Right. It's so popular that on Threads, you weren't going to get the name that you needed to be. Okay. All right.
It's possible.
Even TikTok.
We are not on TikTok.
No, but TikTok came and it was like the buzz and everyone's on TikTok and then it's gone.
I don't think it's gone.
It's kind of gone.
I don't think you and I are able to properly assess whether it's still big with the kids or not. I asked my
dude, do you know my intelligence level? It's right there.
Vaguely familiar.
Yeah, it's right there in like the teens. Okay.
Your maturity level, more than your intelligence level.
Well, maturity, intelligence, it's all that. If you don't think I identify with people who are like 14 years old.
Yeah, okay. I asked my cousin, and she's about 15 years younger than me. And so this would be a couple of years ago. And I said, you know, I don't care about this social media stuff for myself. Like, I have enough to manage. And like, I'm spending too much time ranting on Twitter anyway. I said, do I need to be involved in TikTok for the podcast? She's like, you? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, no. Like, no, you, no. You're not a TikTok guy. Like, good. All I needed to hear.
Right.
I don't want to ask any follow-ups on why you're so quickly writing me off
just
of the platform.
Just
needed the yes or no.
Somebody to tell you.
Right.
And you do rant.
And I trust her.
You do rant too much on Twitter.
I really do.
I know.
I know this.
Sometimes
as well
I just want to call you and go, dude, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
They're 9-2 in their last 11.
All right. Every fucking show now that you're back. Any thoughts of going back to Europe anytime soon, Lever? Is that on the table?
In fact, every day I wake up, I wonder why I'm not still there, but.
I want to direct the good listener back to episode 1268. Our friend Angela Thompson was here. That was a lot of fun. And she brought beer for most of the crew. She brought stuff for you, brought stuff for me, brought stuff for our buddy Bunda, who will be back on the show on Friday morning. We'll have lots to talk about with him, chiefly fights. We'll talk some UFC, but that's also the morning of trade deadline. So no doubt there will be things to get caught up on there.
I thought trade deadline was today.
The way things are going off, this podcast might immediately be out of date when we drop it, but we'll see how it goes.
Hey.
Episode 1269 was our buddy Dean Brown reflected on the 20th anniversary of the Sens Flyers brawl to end it all. Brawl to decide it all. What was the 80s?
Did you get a word in?
I didn't need to.
Right.
I just asked the question. Are you really the one asking if another guest has bogarted the mic a little bit? Or?
Have you met Dean? No, you know what?
I know you're going to see later today our buddy AJ, another person where I just kind of sit back, put my feet up, and let it ride.
I'm telling you,
of those three, look,
I know I'm a radio guy, but I'm going to differentiate.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean this because I didn't know Dean was on, and I can't wait to listen to Dean. Dean just texted me last week, and I got to talk to him soon.
Try not to sound so excited.
But no, what I'm trying to say without like completely crapping on these people.
Oh boy.
Is that there's a difference, and everyone in radio and television will tell you this. I promise you. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but there's a difference between being a radio guy, girl, and a play-by-play guy or girl.
Okay.
If you're a play-by-play person, it's your job. That's what you do for a living. It's very hard to not be that way in the rest of your life.
As opposed to you and AJ, who are...
No, AJ's a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, that's true. So you off the microphone, you're normally pretty reserved. You sit back, don't say a whole lot, pretty quiet guy. Is that what you're selling here?
What I'm selling is that Dave the Voice Schreiber, Dean Brown, AJ Jakubek, three of the very best that Ottawa's had over the last 30, 40 years.
Sure.
Like, it's crazy the influence that those three have over people's memories growing up. If you grew up in Bytown, then you know, and the Voice, Dave Schreiber, Dean Brown, and AJ Jakubek, those voices mean something
100%
to you because of all of the moments that you were a part of growing up that they called. And that is beyond what most of us can do. Like, you know, I was there for a long time, and a lot of Lloydy and JR and all these people, like, they're there for a long time. And yeah, you have a bit of a place in people's lives, but not like play by play. Because people, I mean, you and I had a really good couple episodes last week, and one was based on, you know, the 2010 Olympics and just where we were and what was going on, and just a whole
in that moment
show
Chris
about
Cuthbert
where
is
we
in
were.
A million parties across Canada. Chris Cuthbert is the background noise of that party. He's attended every one of those parties. Everyone will remember that call.
And correct.
We talked about it at the time.
And if you're a Sens fan, you remember Daniel Alfredson scoring in overtime in Buffalo, and the Sens are going to the Stanley Cup, and it's Dean Brown.
Right.
And when Duchesne scored.
Joe Sakic scores to end the O2 Olympics. It's Bob Cole in that big moment.
So right? And they're identified with them.
Yeah.
But play-by-play guys like to talk.
Well, you are objecting to the term Bytown here a little bit again. I got to mention episode 1270 as our friend Andrea made her TCA debut from the Bytown Beer Sisters. You want to take any wild swings at another guest here? Tell her she's out of line using that name or
what is it?
The Bytown Beer Sisters.
So BBS.
Yeah, she's laying into the alliteration a little
bit.
A lot
of BS in that.
Okay. It's a solid pull. It's a little rude, but it's clever enough.
You asked me if I had something, and then I had something, and then you're like,
it was a fun listen. They're putting on a great event that is called Pucks and Pints for a Purpose. It's a fundraiser for children's charities here in the Ottawa area at Craft Ottawa, right there on Bank Street. You can find more information, well, first of all, by listening to episode 1270 of Tall Can Audio, where she told us all about it. But visit their Instagram page, at Bytown Beer Sisters. Ignore Lever's objections to the term Bytown.
It's alliteration and how you will remember it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's okay to do those things because people remember it.
It's true.
Do I have to look this up myself? When's the event? Can I ask
March
you?
March 16th,
okay.
5 p.m. 5:30 p.m.
You know what? You're way ahead by just remembering March 16th.
It is March 16th. I know Lever is unavailable. AEW Collision is in town that night, so you won't be able to run into Lever over there.
It's a little disappointing.
But it is on PWHL Takeover Weekend, and that's with PWHL Ottawa taking on Boston in Detroit. And then I can't remember the two teams. There's another game in Pittsburgh as they kind of spread the gospel of the PWHL into some other markets. And that was an opportunity for the Bytown Beer Sisters to organize a fundraiser. There's going to be raffles. There's going to be door prizes. All kinds of stuff going on at Craft Ottawa, 5 o'clock or 5:30 p.m. Check their Instagram page at Bytown Beer Sisters for more information.
If it's at 5:30... and you get there at 5, and you're at Craft.
Heaven forbid you have an extra pint.
I think you'll be all right.
Fine. It's
speaking
true.
About, you got all this beer in front of us, and you're the one that always comes out. We got to get to the beer. We got to get to the beer. Now you have it in front of you. You got all this beer.
You've taken me on several detours, just teeing up the normal last couple episodes that normally takes me 45 seconds.
BBS.
It's taken like 9 minutes.
BS.
All right. BBS. We're passing lever over a six-pack that was left when our friend Angela Thompson from the Lake of Bays Brewing Company was here for episode 1268.
Hello, Angela.
We like Angela a lot.
Yes.
She came in here and pointed out that it was you're not involved in this. Her and I's.
Don't say were then.
1 year beer-iversary is what I terribly called it.
Oh.
The 1 year anniversary of
I
her
wish
first
you were better
appearance
at things
on
like this.
Almost anything. Like, there's a lot of things I could stand
for. Beer-iversary? Like.
What do you want from me? Can-iversary? Tall can-iversary? Actually, tall can-iversary.
I was just going to say.
Not worse than beer-iversary. Yeah. So it was the 1 year anniversary of her first appearance on the podcast and us starting to work a little bit with the Lake of Bays Brewing Company. So she came in with stuff for me, stuff for you, and stuff for Bunda, who, like I said, will be here tomorrow. We'll hand his over to. And she left a six pack for each of us.
I'm just pulling them out right now to see what we got.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Lever's working through this here. It's like Christmas morning a little bit. Empty the stocking and see what he might want to start with. But there's some cool stuff coming out from Lake of Bays while Lever's working through this. They have their Low and Go six-pack. These are 90 cals, lower alcohol percentage. That's debuting this week at the LCBO. And she tells me there's going to be a winter version coming late fall, like just before the winter of, again, more of these light beers and lower alcohol, 90 cals. So that's not necessarily what she's left for us this time. But if you're on the look for something like that here over the next couple of weeks, it appears spring has already arrived in Ottawa.
Don't say that. See, now, if you've looked ahead at the weather, just because it's been a very, very nice last week, somebody welcomed me home nicely. But
yeah,
it's all going to go awry here in the next.
These low and go six packs. Whether it arrives next week or in a month or two, we'll get you ready for summer season where we all got to show just a little bit more.
I actually talked to
big baggy sweaters like the one I'm wearing right now. I have to go.
I actually talked to our good friend Graham Creech, and I gave him a call, and he was off. I think it was Monday, but he was off. And I'm like, "What are you doing? Sounds like you're outside." Yeah. He's like, "Well,
why not?
I'm putting together a, it's beautiful, you know, 14 degrees or whatever it is." He's like, "I'm putting together a hockey net and I'm having a beer."
Yeah.
I'm like, who's doing better than you? Well, nobody.
Well, I posted a picture on his Twitter being out on his deck, having a pint on whatever it was, Monday or Tuesday, again, 16 degrees.
Yeah.
What are you going to, I stepped out before dinner, had a pint on the balcony. It's feeling like spring. So what has Angela brought for you here, Matt?
Okay. So very nice six pack here. We have Morning Haze, a double dry hop IPA, hazy IPA. We have.
I tried that one when she was in here. It's a nice pint.
Okay, 6.5%. We got a New England IPA called Starboard, which is at 5.4%. We have Off the Grid, which is, I thought I was getting off the grid and I still talk to you. But Off the Grid, Hazy Pale Ale coming in at 4.7%.
Okay.
And then, as you mentioned, I don't know if this is part of the series that you were talking about, but this one's called Lift Lock. It's a light lager, and it comes in at 4%.
Right.
And then the two that I'm kind of debating on having right now.
Right.
We got a red ale called Sparkhouse.
That is a terrific beer.
Okay, and I kind of want to open it.
Yeah.
But sitting right to the left of it is On the Hunt, Italian-style Pilsner, coming in at 4.5%.
I know you've developed a bit of a taste for Italian alcohol.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is going to be a tough choice.
Okay.
But thank you very much, Angela, for all of this. Very, very, very kind of you to be able to do. I will repay you at some point. Even if Matt tells you I'm a bad guy, I will repay you.
I do tell her that. Yeah.
Yep. I know. I know what you tell a lot of people. The thing is that some people, if you believe this, some people like me. And then when you tell them all these bad things, they just come back to me and tell me what you said.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's like you never.
I'm actually fine with
you
that.
Never think. Yeah, I know you are, and that's you don't give a crap.
It's actually better if it makes its way back.
Okay, so what are you drinking?
This is another one from Lake of Bays that she brought for me in my little gift pack. This one is called the Moonstruck Dark Lager, and she knows this is one of my favorites. This and the Sparkhouse Red Ale are my probably two favorite Lake of Bays. There is a third, and it's the one that actually had Angela and I get in touch, and it's called the Storm Chaser Black IPA, but it was just a seasonal, and so it's disappeared a little bit, but I was on with our buddy Creech and Kenny Walls on TSN 1200 at one point, I guess a little over a year ago. And
lucky you got to talk to Kenny.
Kenny's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Right.
He's the rough exterior guy.
Yeah.
That will
great suits, like great fashion.
No,
sense.
He does not have his fashion sense is like
okay
worse than mine, and mine's not good. But he's kind of that rough exterior guy. But like the best guy.
Yes.
If he lets you or you bug him enough to just get to know him, he's the best.
They had me on, and I can't even remember which Leafs debacle it would have been at the time. Because it wasn't even the playoffs yet.
Was it losing to the Boston Bruins last night?
It was not.
Oh.
Okay. And I'm sure we'll get to that. But there was a thing about a year ago they had me on to talk about maybe the trade deadline. I couldn't even tell you. But Kenny always goes out of his way, knows my deal, and asked me off the top about the pod and about a good beer that I've tried lately. And at the time, I still had the Storm Chaser Black IPA on my mind because it was that good. Mm-hmm. And Angela is the regional salesperson for Lake of Bays in this area. And she happened to be listening at the time, found our Instagram page, and said, "Hey, I hear you like the Storm Chaser. You and I should talk. Like, we might be able to do some things together." And so we had her in studio. She brought me a couple of those that were still kicking around that she had just because already that seasonal was a little bit out of date. But she's like, "I got a couple for you. I'm going to hand them off to you." So beer is the perfect way to anybody's heart, right? It's never the wrong gift. So thank you very much to Angela Thompson for hooking me up with another one of these. Like I said, this is the Moonstruck Dark Lager. It's a favorite of mine. Coming in just 4%, but It's very tasty. So that's what I'll be rolling.
Well, you've talked me into this. It's a nice open right there. You've talked me into this Sparkhouse Red Ale.
I like that one a lot, too. That's one of the very first craft beers I ever tried and really liked early on. So
I'm excited about the Pilsner. I'm excited about all of them, but I'm going to try the Red Ale.
Okay. It's a great one, the Sparkhouse. If people haven't tried that one, it's one of the most common ones that you will find in the LCBO across Ontario. If you haven't had a chance to try it yet and you like a red, I think you're going to enjoy this one. It's got a little caramel to it. It's got a lot going on. It's a nice beer. First pull, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to have a second pull because it's very, it feels, I'm not a wine guy, but it feels like a full body. I'm drinking it out of the can, so I haven't really a chance to look at it.
Right.
But you're right. Got some caramel notes and feels like a
kind of
full
malty.
Malty.
Yeah. If you'll allow me for just one quick second, I would like to say that this particular pint is for a friend of the family that we lost this week, a man named David Harrison, who I spent many weekends at the family cottage. You know, there was a close group of six or seven families on this one very small lake, and it was actually tough to make your way around the lake without somebody waving you in, right? If you were out on the boat, come on in, have a pint, or vice versa, people showing up
That's
on our
best.
Dock.
That's
it was
best.
It was such a good vibe. Yeah. And David was one of those guys. I'm not really sure at what point he decided this was a good idea, but one of my fondest memories is just out of nowhere at some point. I'm like 25, 26. And I'd always, you know, like most guys, when I'd see him for the first time in a bit, go to shake his hand. But he'd start giving you the thumb hook and the pull it, like the cool guy handshake. I'm like, okay, I'm 25 and white. You're 55 and white. This is not a thing, right? Like, we can't be doing this. But he stuck with it for a long time. He hung tough with the cool guy handshake.
Stick to your guns.
100%, man. Just a really cool guy. One of the first people who would offer to help with anything. Anyway, very close with our family and our group of people up there. We lost him this week. And so, cheers to you, David. Rest in peace, man. This pint's for you. I know you, as much as anybody, enjoyed a good pint with the rest of us. So, cheers to you. Lever.
Yeah, cheers. Sorry about...
Yeah.
Lawson, but he sounds like a terrific guy.
He was an awesome guy.
I think part of being part of that group and when you remember things like that, it's important, right, to be able to express that and have a, you know, you have a great forum here to be able to,
yeah,
to do that. And I think it's important to be able to do that. So I feel fortunate to be in here with you to be able to cheers David.
Great guy. Cheers to you, David. Rest in peace. Obviously thinking about his kids and his partner, Val. And so, look, we're going to lighten things back up here a little bit. Where do you want to start, man? We got a few different things on the list today. It is going off right now in the NHL. There's been a few different trades already. Obviously, earlier on in the week, your Devils made a fairly big change, shit-canning their coach, Lindy
You
Ruff.
Don't have to say it like that.
Well, that's kind of what they did.
They just fired him.
Oh.
People get fired all the time.
Okay, I see. Wow. We've entered a personal space
No,
here.
But like, you texted me that, too. Like, people get fired
it.
All the time.
I put it in the note. I didn't
right.
text
Sorry.
It to you. That would be
Sorry.
Insensitive.
Here's what we're going to talk about. Devil's shit can Lindy Ruff.
All right. I might be a little rough around the edges in how I present our very professional show's topics each week. Why don't we start there?
Yeah.
Is there anything at all more to this than, oh, their goaltending stunk, they didn't fix it, and we have to do something, so goodbye to the coach?
No. Look, if you... Sometimes when coaches get fired, it's a mixed reaction. There are some people, some fans that think it wasn't his fault. There are some fans that think it was. You usually see a bit of a mix when a coach gets let go.
Yeah.
Like even DJ in Ottawa, I think there are some people that he never really got a chance to work with. He didn't have great goaltending. He never had, you know, the team that, people give him some excuses. I personally don't. I think he had enough time. Mm-hmm. But there are those that kind of make excuses for him. Lindy Ruff was not the right guy for the New Jersey Devils. He might have been the right guy to kind of bring them up.
Well, because if you recall, and I'm sure you will.
Yes.
Last season, we started the year with the fans constantly chanting, fire Lindy.
Yeah.
And then they got off to a pretty good start. Yeah. And then, yeah, that was a fun story a couple of weeks later, a month or two later. They were all chanting, sorry, Lindy, because yep. the Devils were off and running. And so he got a bit of a reprieve. But they do go ahead and bring in Travis Green mm-hmm. this year to be his assistant. And now that's kind of this ominous presence looking over your shoulder. This is always a conversation when you bring in a well-regarded head coach to be somebody's assistant slash associate, whatever the hell the difference is. And now my replacement is standing right beside
yeah,
me on the bench.
I don't buy that for a second.
No?
I think that happens in other spots. Lindy Ruff...
Because it was also Andrew Burnett last year.
Yeah.
They did it twice.
But Lindy Ruff has been around long enough.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, maybe too long, but has been around so long that he's in the spot. I don't care if you bring in Scotty Bowman and like doesn't matter who's beside him. If he's not getting the job done, he's going to lose his job because they're not going to just let him. He's not a young coach kind of making his way up.
Right.
That they're going to give him a long leash. They've got a good young team that should be taking the next step. That did a couple of really good things last year but didn't quite get to where they needed to go, but they needed to continue that. And now they've gone backwards. Well, I don't care who is standing beside Lindy Ruff. If he wasn't getting the job done, he's going to lose his job. So Travis okay. Green or anybody else.
So you're willing to write off the assistant coach part of it.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. The goaltending part.
Yeah.
They are 31st in save percentage. The
yeah.
only team worse is the Ottawa Senators. And they saw a coach also lose his job. Mm-hmm. Perhaps not a coincidence. And so my original question, I come back to it. You know, is he taking the fall for the fact that everyone knew coming out of last season, hey, this team's ready to maybe get really exciting here for a while? I think you and I both had them, if not winning the division this year, second at worst. And then,
I thought they'd be a playoff team.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. I had them no worse than second in the division
yeah.
based on the takeoff they had last year.
I know, but sometimes they teams, and
based
you see this all
on,
the time, take a step back.
They do.
They go
success
on a,
isn't linear.
Yeah, they
yeah.
go on a run, and all of a sudden it's a step back before they move ahead again.
But no one expected them to drop back
no.
to 7 points out of the playoffs at this point.
And they've
the
waited
year.
Too long now.
And
now,
but what difference does it make if the new guy is getting saddled with the same goaltending?
Well, we'll see. We'll see if he can get the team to play a little bit differently so that the goaltending doesn't matter as much.
His first game behind the bench, Travis Green, he scratches Simon Nemitz.
Yeah.
And as of the time you and I are sitting here on Wednesday at the Devils morning skate or practice on Wednesday, Nemitz was practicing again on the fourth pair, mm-hmm. not likely to play. You have a closer relationship with this team than yep. I do, and no doubt follow more reporters and this yep. and that. But what I'm seeing is a lot of people down there saying Nemitz has not been anywhere close to the problem. And if his name was Simon Hughes, it would be Luke who was sitting right now. But you're not going to do that to Jack Hughes' brother. And so Nemitz is the one taking a bit of a fall here. Are you surprised that maybe we're scapegoating Simon Nemitz already?
I don't think Nemitz has been great. Mm-hmm. So I don't think a lot of people, obviously, with a team that's 7 points out of the playoffs, I think when you get a young team, sometimes when you have the success that they did and now the expectations are there, some people don't live up to it.
Right.
And it takes a while to understand who is still living up to it, who isn't, and how to kind of get the team to the next level. Nemitz is not the problem, but he's not the answer either. And Luke Hughes isn't the answer or the problem either. Their problem is their goaltending.
And I guess if we're being fair, Hamilton has been out for a huge
long period
of time. That's the guy who was supposed to carry the ball on D.
But hey.
No, injuries happen.
Every team's got injuries.
But if you told any contender this year, we're going to take your number one D for like 70% of the season, you'd be like, oh, we're in trouble.
Except for Morgan Rielly, yeah.
They didn't lose him for 70%.
Five games, whatever it was.
Same thing.
5-0. But anyway, you're right that it didn't help. But you have to be a little bit better collectively than you lose one guy and all of a sudden you're down. So goaltending, you asked me a couple of weeks ago about Markstrom, and it still appears like
they're trying to pry him out of there, and Calgary's just not, for whatever reason, ready to do it.
Yeah, I think if they were in a better spot, like even a few points closer, I think the deal would happen.
But, Jersey being closer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now they're 7 points back, and they got a couple of teams that they've played almost as many games or more games than anybody else that around them. They only got 20 games left. Yeah. They're not making it. And so now, by firing...
Markstrom now can't help you.
Now like, if you're firing the coach...
And three
right.
Or whatever.
If you're firing the coach and bringing in Markstrom and thinking that you're going to change things, you're not. But...
So why make the Lindy move right now?
Because I do think it's important. And look, we've been through it in Ottawa. We've been through it in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
I do subscribe. Not everyone has to agree. But I subscribe to the theory of when you're down and out of it, if you have somebody there that you know is going to be the coach next season, there's a big difference in how you're playing for the coach at the time,
right?
How then you're responding to the coach in the off season, what's happening in the summer, how you come back.
Gone anyway, what do I care? Right?
Yeah, all of that stuff. And if you don't get a new coach until June, and you haven't been playing for 2 months, and then you don't really meet the coach, but you talk to him on the phone, but you don't really get a sense of what he wants to do until you get to training camp, I think you're actually behind where you'd be if you did it now. This is all about what's going to happen in the summer, what's going to happen next year, and how Travis Green wants them to play.
Yeah.
So they didn't hire Travis Green as the assistant, to not give him this job. Like, I know he's the interim.
Well, like I said, it was Andrew Burnett last year, who, again, similar to Travis Green, a good, young, up-and-coming head coach who had a lot of respect. It was like both of the... And then Andrew Burnett got the Nashville job and left, and so they replaced him. It was like for the last 2 years, they wanted somebody in their back pocket that, hey, if we got to do the Lindy thing, we've got something sitting here.
But I believe that Travis Green will be the coach.
Yeah.
One of my all-time... most hated Leafs ever, by the way. I actually dislike Green as much as like Tucker and Corson and all those guys.
Wow, yeah.
Because he was like the dirtiest guy ever that always got away with it.
Yep.
Because Tucker and Corson and all these other guys are there and Green's just doing whatever he wants to anybody.
Pat Quinn and those Leafs always had a third line that was like Green, Corson, Igor Korolev for a little while.
Yeah. Anyway, dirty, dirty player.
100%. Love you, buddy.
I respect him more now that he's kind of...
That he's got your...
No. Like when he's coming up the coaching ranks and then junior and some of the things that he's done since he left his playing days. But, and listening to him a lot when he speaks to the media and what kind of culture he wants to bring. I think he's changed a little bit, but that was how he had to play. Good for him. I'm just saying he was a dirty player when he played. Like, yep. Really dirty.
For sure, but you're right.
But I think he's the right guy. I'm a big subscriber back to the theory.
I like Travis Green in Vancouver, too. I think they made bad roster decisions, and he paid the price for it under Jim Benning.
Yeah.
I like Travis Green as a coach.
Anyway, I think getting a person in that's going to be the leader of your group through the end of the year to see how people are playing when games don't matter, how people...
So you're done. You've written this season off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't think 7 points back, you've played more games than almost anybody, and teams are just simply playing better than you.
It just feels like Philly doesn't belong there in that last division spot. Like, somebody's going to reach up and grab them.
But you just mentioned the goaltend. Do you think the goaltend is going to get exponentially better?
This is why I understand. Like, it's been at least a month we've been hearing Jersey's trying to get Markstrom. And if they'd have been able to do it in that first week or two, you go, maybe you can get hot enough, right? Maybe you could go whatever it would have taken at the time, 18-6 or something. Now you're going to have to go like 17-3 if you got him tonight. And it seems unlikely.
Well, a month ago, you would have given a boost to your group.
Yeah.
That would have
fires everyone up.
Yeah, would have been there for a longer period of time. Even if you're in that group right now, you're probably thinking, okay, I'm kind of fired up, but it's probably too late.
Yeah. It's funny when you look at, just what goaltending means to coaching. You look at DJ Smith, and he was probably going to go anyway, but did not get any goaltending this year. Lindy Ruff did not get any kind of goaltending this year, and he's gone. You look at...
Can I just stop you for a sec?
Well,
sorry.
Just let me...
Well, both of those teams, especially Ottawa, but even the Devils, are not the Devils of 95
no,
and 2000.
No.
So the structure in their own end, Ottawa had none.
Right.
Like zero.
But the goaltending hasn't gotten better under Martin either when the team did start to play better systematically. You look at the Oilers who fired their coach and couldn't get a save early in the season. You bring in the new guy and, oh, look, suddenly Stu Skinner remembers, I can at least be competent in this job. And all of a sudden the Oilers look good again. And on the flip side of it, you look at who are the guys people are talking about right now as possible coach of the year. Is Jim Montgomery? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's pretty good goaltending. You look at Rick Bonus. Oh, it's Helleba. It's pretty good goaltending. It's Rick Tocchet. It's Thatcher. Oh, it's pretty good goal. Like, the relationship is absolutely there. If you have an elite goalie this year, you make your coach look pretty good. And if you don't have goaltending at all, your coach is probably going down with you.
Well, look, in sports, we can talk a lot about it in different things. I don't believe the Devils had a great defensive system. I know Ottawa didn't. You, at least when you get a better system, can now determine that it is the goaltending as opposed to teams getting grade A chance after grade A chance after grade A chance, and then you keep blaming the goalie when you're giving up 36 shots a game but 20 grade A chances. Well, your goalie's not going to stop all of them. But now you can determine under a better system like Ottawa that, it probably is your goaltending.
Right.
But
well, let me ask you one last thing on the Devils.
Just the influence, though, for a sec. Like, we can talk all around it and try and sound smart.
I try so hard.
If you, tell me the most influential positions in all of sports in...
It's goalie and quarterback.
Yeah, and maybe point guard in basketball.
Sure.
But, if your point guard sucks and your goalie sucks and your quarterback sucks, guess what?
You're going down.
Your team is going to suck.
Yeah.
That's it. If you have a bad quarterback in the NFL, you have no chance. If you have a bad goalie in the NHL, unless your team has the puck all the time.
But we even saw it, even with Connor McDavid, it wasn't enough early on. And
no,
that's
it wasn't. But anyway, the goalie and quarterback, probably the two most influential positions in all of sports. If they're not any good or they're like the worst in the league, you are not going to be good, period, end of story.
So last thing then on the Devils. We mentioned that Simon Nemitz has been scratched, and the Devils shocked a lot of people when they took him at number two or whatever. And that was the year that Shane Wright fell to for several spots. And I there was a video, and it was just one Devils viewing party. I'm not saying this spoke for the whole, but there was a video we posted on the show after the draft of this one party when the Devils took Nemitz, and there's a guy, no!
From Nitra, Simon Nemec.
Oh, no! 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 You gotta be kidding me!
Oh, what an earth-shattering night for Slovakia.
Yeah.
To go.
But Nemitz and Luke Hughes, like these guys are part of a bright future for the Devils.
Mm-hmm.
If you've already decided the season is written off,
mm-hmm.
this isn't the guy to, you don't scratch Simon Nemitz. You get him out there. You get him minutes. You get him experience. Ty Smith was -4 in their last game, and he gets to stay in the lineup. At some point, is this not an opportunity, or do you think maybe that you've just written off the season a little quicker than them and they're still trying to salvage something? Because to me, if you think you're done, this is the time to play the hell out of these guys.
Right. But if those kids are so lost that they have no confidence.
Do you think Nemitz was that lost?
I don't think he's been good.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So I would be a hypocrite if I sat here. One of the worst things that DJ Smith did during his run.
I know where you're going, yeah.
Was looking at young players, and when Tim Stützle would turn the puck over in his own end and literally be the cause of the second goal. They're down 1-0. They can't afford to be down 2.
Right.
And Stutz is making an idiotic pass that leads to a 2-0 goal. Guess what? I don't care who you are. You're going to sit down for a period. Yeah, you're not going to sit forever, but you're going to sit down for a period. You're going to, Drake Batherson is -400. Yeah, well, go out there, Drake. No problem.
Right.
Like, if you're not holding young players accountable for what they're doing and they continue to do the wrong things, at some point you have to put the brakes on them and go, we need a reset here.
Right.
And the Sens with their young core need a reset. God, even Brady Tkachuk. Like, Brady Tkachuk cheats a lot, but he's Brady. He's fine. Like, if Brady cheats and he gets caught, he'll do something later. Don't worry about it. Well, no. That's not how you win.
Right.
So young players, sometimes if you're going down a bad road and you're not being held accountable, they need a reset. And I'm not saying Nemitz is the full problem, but I'm saying I have zero issue with a new coach coming in and going, okay, we're going to fix some things and maybe you need a week of practice here under the system that
That's
I'm going
just
to run.
Ask
yeah.
You. And if we're sitting here in a week and he's still not back in the lineup,
now we can
now
talk.
Now it's a problem,
yeah,
right?
Now
you got to give him a chance to redeem himself.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I want to judge that. Now, if I think the season's over, and I think the Devils do too, I want to see how Travis Green is using that player from now until the end of the season. He's got a month.
Yep.
How are you developing that player so that in the second week of April, when everyone goes home, that player has more confidence that he's going to go in the summer and train and be a big part of your future.
I was punished here, but I was given a chance. I learned something. I showed something.
It's not punished.
It is punished. No, you're held accountable for your mistakes.
You're a professional.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry. You're young. You're old. You still have to do the job.
All
if you're not doing the job, you should sometimes have a reset. And just go, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs.
I think we're nitpicking at the term here then. Like, if it's not punished, you're being held accountable for making those mistakes. And so you sat out. But at that age, you have to give that guy a chance to get back in there. If you got to sit him for 2 games to send your message, okay.
Right.
But he's got to be given a chance then to come back in. And when he does good things, his ice time needs to be up. Like, if those guys are showing well, you'd like to see by the end of April, when nothing else matters, that Luke Hughes and Simon Nemitz are playing 20 minutes a night. Like,
yeah,
give them the chance.
If they're playing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. But now they have a month to figure this out. So I'm going to give them the month and give them the benefit of the doubt that, hey,
yeah,
you don't have a lot of confidence. We're going to actually put you in a situation to get you a whole lot more confidence. It's just not going to be in the lineup and being...
It's not going to be gifted to you.
Yeah, and being minus three, it's not helping you right now.
Well, Ty Smith was minus four, and he gets to stay.
Yeah, so. I know. You brought that up before.
Well, it's fairly relevant. Are we holding everyone accountable or just the two young kids?
Well, you got to play somebody. So at some point, you got to...
I'll play Nemitz.
Okay. Because
yeah. I think Ty Smith might not even be here next year. So who gives a shit if he's getting minutes or not? Anyway.
But the whole point is if you develop, and no, I'm going to stop you here. So if you're going to try and develop somebody and get them more confidence, running them out there for 20 minutes and being minus three or minus four while Ty Smith is sitting on the bench is not helping.
Well, I think my guys might learn something, and Ty Smith is what he is at this point.
But that's who I want on the ice while I'm trying to help the guys who are actually going to matter. If Ty Smith isn't going to be here, I really don't care what's going on with him, and I'm not going to fix him. So if he's not going to be there next year, no problem. I care where Nemitz is in a month. I care where Nemitz is in 6 months.
Right.
So let's make a plan. And look, this happened to me. This happened to Thomas Chabot. Thomas Chabot was the best player. He was the best defenseman.
You mean he was just allowed to do whatever the hell he wanted?
Yeah, he could do whatever he wanted. And Thomas Chabot was not getting better defensively.
No.
And so at some point, you had to take his minutes down and put some other guys out there and understand that you're going to have to get better.
When are they going
to
do that? The Sens did make a move here. We are, look, and we mentioned it off the top. I'll reiterate it here. As you and I sit and do this, things are moving fast on the NHL trade front right now.
Three or four things today.
Right. And so by the time you hear this Thursday morning, there could be stuff we just don't get to because it hasn't happened yet. But one thing that has happened is the Sens have traded Vladimir Tarasenko to the Florida Panthers. They're getting a fourth-round pick that could become a third-round pick if the Panthers, I think they got to win the cup is the condition on it, and then another third-round pick. I know some fans, and fans get crazy. Some fans thought a first-round pick might be coming. That was always, in my opinion, asinine. But I didn't think a second-rounder was out of the question. So to get a third and then a fourth and maybe another third feels underwhelming, but to be fair to the Sens new management group here, Tarasenko has no trade protection in his contract. By all accounts, he's wanted to get to Florida for a while, and so we don't know how tightly he turned the screws on them and said, I'm only going to Florida or whatever. So it's an underwhelming return. But perhaps there was no other way around that for the Senators. What did you make of the deal?
I made of the deal that the legacy of Pierre Dorion does not continue to go in a positive direction.
No.
So,
did you see our buddy JR's
no.
timeline of Tarasenko? Sign him when you shouldn't have, because now it creates salary cap problems for you in camp, which it did, have him actually play a little better than you expected. It goes pretty well. And then based on that performance, get the underwhelming result. Welcome to Sens hockey lately. Like,
no, but why would you ever, ever, ever sign an older veteran to a one-year deal and then give him full no move like wherever he wanted to go?
That's the problem is...
Why would you ever do that?
If you're signing him strictly to come play for you this year, now they thought they'd be better this year.
They
but
did.
On the off chance that you're not, you can trade him at the deadline for you completely
screwed yourself.
Neuter yourself on that front. I like neuter.
By the better. Off chance, they hadn't made the playoffs in 6 years. Yeah, so like hoping, we think we're going to be better, but until you prove that you're better, you're not.
Right.
So what you are is a team that is 6 years out of the playoffs, signing Tarasenko to a one-year deal.
And then giving him control.
And then giving him control so that if he does play decently, you're going to get nothing back.
Yeah.
I'm not underwhelmed, but I'm not overwhelmed. I don't know what the management...
You're just whelmed.
I like being whelmed.
Yeah.
I don't know what the management was expected to do if Tarasenko went to them and said, I'm only going here or here.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
And as you suggest, that's a leftover deuce from Dorion.
It's just such a terrible deal.
So this is hard. I don't like the deal that Stajos made here, but Stajos may have had no...
Well, what don't you like about it?
I think that, as we both just said, it's an... you said you're whelmed. I'm underwhelmed. But I'm giving Stajos the benefit of the doubt that this is the best he could do, knowing that Tarasenko's steering.
Well, then
the
you can't be underwhelmed at the return if you're going to give Steos the benefit of the doubt. That
I can be underwhelmed and understand how we got here. It's possible to accept those two thoughts at the same time, that this is not good enough based on the situation, but that he, someone else tied his hands.
If Tarasenko came to you and said, I'm only going to Florida, and you got a third, a fourth, and maybe another third out of it?
No, no, no. Not a third and a fourth and maybe another. A third and a fourth, or a third and a third.
Right.
It doesn't turn into another.
Yeah, but two draft picks that could be third round picks.
Yes.
What, you wanted Florida?
If he had no trade protection
Florida,
at all.
If
he had no trade protection at all, do you think you could have got a second rounder somewhere in the league? Then this is underwhelming.
But he did have full control.
Right.
So that what you just said, that possibility does not exist.
Well, I'm saying the player is worth a second rounder right now, and you were unable to get one based on what Pierre Dorion signed him
to. If you're Florida, and you know that Tarasenko only wants to go there.
Yep. I think this is good business for Florida. And I like what this does
but they
for
would
them.
But Florida would never give Ottawa a second.
I'm not sure Florida has a second.
Yeah, but they wouldn't give it anyway when they know that they don't have to, because
I think we're arguing semantics again, that what the player is worth versus what you were forced to take.
Well, what he's worth doesn't matter because of the no trade.
That's right. That's right. And that was given to him by Dorion. So that's an extra little present left for the...
No, but what that is, and I want to make it really clear, it's not just dumping on Pierre Dorion, but what it is,
it's
Pierre...
accurately discussing
no, but Pierre Dorion did a lot of things to try to save his own job.
Yep.
With the signing of Tarasenko, thinking that this was a piece that could make us a playoff team. And if we become a playoff team, people aren't going to crap on me. Maybe I'll save my job. But what I have to do to actually have Tarasenko is to sign him to a no move. Fine, I will, because I need to make the playoffs more than anything.
Right.
And when you think like that as a general manager, whether you're Pierre Dorion or anybody else, it is the wrong way to go about it. Mm-hmm. You should never be thinking of yourself more than the team.
Well, this organization had very much created that environment for him to do so.
Well, you're still responsible for doing it if you're the one
and
trying to hold on to your own job.
He's been held responsible. He's gone. So.
Well, I know, but this is a leftover...
That's what I'm saying.
...part of it.
So
it
what do you think of Tarasenko to the Panthers? Because I think this is a very interesting move for them. I think his days as being like a number one line guy are over.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to be there. Like with Barkov and Tkachuk on that top line, like if you put him on line two, which you could, with like Bennett and Reinhart maybe, or on the third line with Lundell, and that allows you to move Carter Verhaeghe around. It allows you to move Nick Cousins around, everybody's favorite.
Nick Cousins.
Yeah, well, he plays in their top nine.
No,
so
I agree.
Yeah, this gives them some options. His foot speed has diminished quite a bit, Tarasenko's, but he's still, if you look at his underlying numbers, he's a good shot creator. Like, he's a good creator of opportunities, and he can finish if other people set him up. And Florida has people who can help set him up. I think this is a nice addition for the Panthers at a minimal cost.
He was better than I thought he was going to be for Ottawa this year, because it's quite clear that he still can put the puck in the net when he wants to.
Yeah.
And you can never have enough of those guys in a playoff run when they're not your premier guys. Like Tarasenko playing on a third line. And when you say third line, sometimes people think checking line or...
It's all about how you set up your
own line. So I guess what I don't mean third line. I just mean not in a premier like 18 minutes or above player.
Right.
If you're 15 minutes, 14 minutes, put the guy in the power play a couple of times... You have improved your team by adding this guy, and you gave away nothing to get him.
Yeah.
So this is a good move for Florida. I don't even care if it doesn't work out. The risk versus reward on this deal is more reward to me than the
risk. I think so, too. And the flexibility is nice, right? If you're, like, depending on who you face and how they're able to check, you know, maybe you move Carter Verhaeghe down a line and allow him a little freedom, and he works on the third line with Lundell, and you allow Tarasenko to move up to the second. Like, you move your own assets around to do other things, and it gives them some flexibility that they didn't have before.
Slotting,
so,
right?
Yeah, 100%.
Slotting matters so much. Good teams.
And I doubt they're done.
I know.
They got $3 million in cap space still.
Good teams understand how big slotting can be for a number of players that are either not achieving what they want or just putting them in better roles with better players,
yeah.
getting more out of people. That's the job of the general manager, to understand that and to give the coach the tools to be able to put different people on the ice when guys are going. Tarasenko doesn't need to be going every game for the Florida Panthers
to win.
He's
not the guy to do the heavy lifting.
Right.
He's, as you've said, he's the secondary scorer.
But if
he can do that.
But if he's going
one
every three nights, man, that's a...
You get into a tight one in game six with somebody and everybody's sawing each other off. The two top lines are going... Tarasenko can pot one. Like, he'll figure that out.
So this is almost a no-lose situation for the Florida Panthers. And for Ottawa, I just don't know how you see this as...
The Senators love to help teams in their own division,
yeah, but
especially the ones in Florida.
I don't know how you see this as anything more than your hands tied behind your back and there's just nothing you can do.
Yeah.
They're going to have to make a few moves like this before we can accurately judge what this management group, ownership and management group and coaching staff are all about.
Right.
Because until you get out from underneath all of this crap, this is what happened today. They had, unfortunately, to get out of a little bit of crap, and I think there's still more to come.
Do you think, you know, maybe last thing on this before we break for a new beer, Chychrun, do you expect he'll go by Friday? And this is dangerous because you and I said we should reflect on the things that have happened. We should not project based on. But
yeah.
Do you think
there have been a couple other things that have happened today?
Okay. Do you think there's been talk of Philadelphia all of a sudden out of nowhere? Now they've dealt a D, so maybe they're suddenly going to be interested because they're holding down a playoff spot. Do you think Chychrun goes by Friday?
I think until about 2 days ago, I would have said absolutely not. Like, there's just no way they are going to do, like, what they gave up and what he still provides with his contract and the wanting to be here. I believe all of those things.
Yep.
But if you project out that you're not trading Shabbat and Sanderson...
I'm not trading Sanderson.
No. Never Sanderson, but...
Well, not never, but... Not for a while.
Yeah, never say never, but he's basically him and Stützle and Brady are the only three untouchables on the team. If somebody came along and gave you a real chance to dig yourself out of the hole that you're in by allowing so much more flexibility, if somebody came along to offer you that chance and it was through Jacob Chychrun,
is that all you'd be looking for, is cap space and a good pick? Like, you're saying freedom. Is that cap space, freedom?
It's both.
Yeah.
And a pick. But like,
so you wouldn't
pick.
You wouldn't want
no.
Scott Laughton
no.
or
no.
something
no.
like that?
No.
You're just looking to clear
no.
that.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
This group.
He's a decent player. He just doesn't maybe fit here.
This group leading the team deserve a chance to form the team how they see fit and best. If they think that Scott Laughton is a part of the future.
They have a lot of centers. They're just not often in the lineups together.
It's hard to argue.
Yeah. And a lot of good centers.
Yeah.
They're just not.
A lot of really good centers.
They just don't play.
But you asked me, are you comfortable with this? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. And Norris is gone again.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Here we go again. And then what his mental state is going to be like next year.
Right.
Man, I can't
starting
even,
all over again.
I can't even imagine. You hurt the same body part over and over and over, and you think that you're going to be fine?
Right.
That's psychology. Seriously, that is, that's not the physical part of your shoulder being better.
That's a mind fuck.
That is the psychology of you believing that you're finally going to be okay. And that does
not
happen overnight.
At this point?
Well, you have to.
I understand.
As a pro athlete that's making...
breaking, so...
Yeah, but he's making $8
million
a year or whatever he's making.
Speaking of a mind fuck for the Senators.
Like,
we've tied ourselves to this for quite a while. We're going to need you to get that shoulder fixed.
Yeah, and they should have...
You fixed it twice.
Well,
it's not fixed.
They...
Anyway. I'm just saying. Chychrun is an interesting one to me. I understand he hasn't played all that well lately. I'm higher on him than a lot of Sens fans, and if you force me to only deal one, I would send Shabbat out. I understand there's a greater affinity for him in the market. You know, he's been here a while, and people love him. But if you were going to force me to trade one and keep one, I'll keep Chychrun and trade Shabbat, not just because I think overall in the long run Chychrun will be better. I also know for the moment he's making less money, and I think Shabbat's I just think that's a change of scenery guy. But Chychrun's the guy on the market right now, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. I'd hate to have to pick between the two.
Yeah.
But if you are forced to pick, I think I would pick Chychrun as well.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't like Shabbat. It just means you got a lot
How
of guys.
How do you think he felt, Chychrun, watching Arizona, his former team, come in here on a 14-game losing streak and busted against him in the Sens? That was probably a tough night for Chicky.
A lot of guys in the group text didn't like the fact that I was silent, kind of coming back, and they're like, you know, we need a little bit more of your vim and vigor in the group chat. So I might have thrown out okay, what do we got here, guys? March 1st, 2024, Yotes Sens, the battle for 27th place in the National Hockey League. Who are the Sens going to call up? Is it Rourke Chartier? Is it Zach MacEwen? Who's coming up? Who's going down? The battle for 27th Friday night in Ottawa, it's on!
It was terrible.
Seriously, think about March 1st, 2024, the battle for 27th place between Arizona, who hasn't won since January 22nd, and the Ottawa Senators, and then Arizona wins.
I love the fact that
Arizona moves into 27th and Ottawa falls to 28th.
Like, Arizona hadn't won a game, as you mentioned, through all of February.
Oh, my God.
And they were given a game on February 29th. We only get a February 29th once every 4 years. You had a chance to... Nope. We're going to wait till the next night in Ottawa on a back-to-back.
Right.
And we'll do it then.
But the Sens, just so embarrassing, but they need to dig themselves out, and they're doing the right things to dig themselves out. We'll see what happens in the summer. I think there's a lot to come with this team. Maybe only a couple of things before the deadline.
Need a goalie.
But in the summer, I think there's going to be massive changes with this team. And
the massive change we need right now is a change of pint.
So we'll take a break. I got a good one for you coming up.
Good. As long as it's not frozen solid. We'll take a break. We'll be back in a second.
Check it out. I'm Toma Kazoka of the Montreal Expos.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Esteban of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
And I'm the man at the ballpark everyone hates.
The umpire?
No, Billy Crystal.
Let's get back into it. One of the things I've had on our note here for a while that we haven't had a chance to get to is, because I know you grew up in the GTA, as did I, both big Blue Jays guys.
Yep.
And we heard not too long ago that Netflix is going to produce a documentary on the departure, mainly, of the Expos from Montreal. Everything that went into that, the attendance issues, the ownership issues, the stint down in Puerto Rico where they were splitting time there, and the departure for Washington. And Netflix does these things well, right? Like, they are the ones who did the F1 thing, to put F1
Drive to
on
Survive.
A whole new level.
Yeah, they do things the best.
They really do. And they did the golf one. I forget what that one was. Something Swing, Full Swing.
Full Swing.
Full Swing.
Yep.
That one was great. They did another one on the tennis tour that put them on. Like, they get inside and they do these things really well. And so this one on the Expos, and instead of focusing on like the life of the Expos, this appears to be just the like downfall of the Expos as a Jays guy growing up. Like, does this hold any interest for you? Would you have been more interested if it was more all-encompassing on the franchise? The fact that they're focusing in on the departure, like, where is this going to rank for you when it drops as something to watch?
So as a bit of a heel from our wrestling talks, I'm a big Blue Jays fan, and I could, when I grew up in Toronto and loved the Blue Jays, going to Exhibition Stadium, literally spent a year at Exhibition Stadium, and when they transferred over to the Dome, our parents collectively were working the concessions every game for the entire year as a fundraiser to send us to Finland and Sweden to compete in a world bantam hockey tournament.
Hmm.
And where I billeted at Jarkko Ruusu's house, by the way.
Asshole. Couple of heels, now that you mentioned it.
Jarkko's the best.
I bet.
Okay? Yeah. The best.
Yeah. Ask around the league, see how many people get
ask me, okay? The guy's
couple of heels.
Unbelievable human being.
All right. Big Tuomo guy myself.
But what are the chances that I would bill it at his house when I was 14?
Pretty slim. Like, you right? walk in here with a lot of weird stories. This is up there.
Hey, that guy made the NHL. Yeah.
Lee got him there.
I didn't. But I got to cover him in the NHL, which was kind of cool.
That's true. And how long was he here? Like a year?
Yeah, he's here a year. But, you know, in just, he was one of the guys that I kind of helped me with some things early in my career because we're friends.
Sure.
And we would talk all the time. And it was just a cool kind of in the league where
100%.
Where like when
anybody
you're
you know.
When you're in the mid-20s, you don't really have an in the league.
No.
You know what I mean? That's actually going to tell you things that are true. Whether you can report them or not.
Right.
But
tomorrow night I'm gonna blast this guy knee on knee. Have your camera running.
You know what? He's a great human being.
Okay.
I will stick by that.
Good.
And Mikko has been a long, long time
Mikko Ruttu.
Long time scout for the Sens. long time. So anyway, point being is the Blue Jays mattered to me.
Right.
They always mattered. Was there in 89 when they won the pennant and lost to the A's. 91, same thing. 92, I was at a lot of games. 93, I was at the World Series game. One of the games they lost. Like, the Blue Jays matter to me.
Yeah.
A great, great deal. And at the time, the Expos
did not
matter to
me. Same to me, yeah. At the time.
They were the other Canadian team that we were better than.
And this was pre-interleague play. Like, not only did I not care, I didn't see them.
No.
They weren't a part of my regular season. We didn't even run into each other.
And I don't really care how they're doing.
Right.
And I know that sounds a little callous because I should have, but I was just such a big Blue Jays fan that...
What are you going to do? It's a different world. You couldn't even watch them if you'd have wanted to.
I know, but I don't think I appreciated at the time that we only had two teams and we weren't going to get more and we might lose one and everything else. But then I came to Ottawa and these bleeding hearts that literally, like... Go up to them 20 years later. We would have made the playoffs in 94 if they didn't strike. And it's like,
that. Seriously,
yeah, you would have made the playoffs and lost in the first round, and you wouldn't have won the World Series. And this little fairy tale that you had that you were the best team in baseball. Yeah. And
the Yankees would love to talk about that.
You would have got pounded in the playoffs because you had no experience, and you still call back to that 20 years later. And I always had the opinion of not being a guy that went to Expos games, not understanding how influential they were, not only in the province of Quebec, but in Ottawa and the Lynx were the
AAA team.
Without
even being an asshole, they left in 04.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a couple years on me. You were already here in Ottawa. Did you ever get to a game at the Big O?
No.
No. No, neither did I. And look, by the time either one of us would have been even mildly interested, the vibe was dead. Like, going to a game at the O would have sucked. But I do wish...
I wish I had done it.
Yeah.
And it was quite stupid to not do it in the early 2000s, but, and then you don't get the chance. So I do make fun of the Bleeding Hearts that still go back to 94 and tell me that they were going to win. What's that?
Lloydy.
Yeah. Okay. Steve Lloyd, you are number one on the list.
100%.
Your team was not going to win the World Series, but there are more.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, over time, you come to appreciate the fact that Canada did have a second team and that it was such a horrible venue, and where the team was located and what the fans were like. I think at first, not being in the middle of the situation, it was easy from the outside to look at them and go, well, you didn't support your team.
That's exactly what it was. I was in high school
and then they left.
The time. Not by 04, but for the most, like when you were seeing these games, there were 6,000 people there, we were pointing and laughing.
Right.
Not knowing that mid-2000s, 2011, whatever, the Jays would be at 9,000 or whatever, and you're like, oh, right, if your team stinks for a while, people stop going.
Well, and the venue was so terrible, right?
Like, and terribly
out
located.
Of town. Yeah, like, it was not a great location. It was a terrible place to go watch.
Yeah.
And there were more passionate people about baseball that just wanted something to grab a hold of.
Yeah.
And we're never able to grab a hold of it. So over time, I've kind of developed a little bit of a soft spot.
100%.
For and understanding that.
Well, I get tired of the idea that, look, remember for a few years, the Jays would come up from spring training, play two games at the O, they'd sell them out, and Montreal goes, see? No. Like, two games is different than selling 81 games. Like, mm-hmm. You need a venue. You need a what? But I'm with you in the sense that I did develop a sympathy or a better understanding, if nothing else, of what everything that franchise went through, the ownership situations, yeah. the lack of support that they got from their own government. And so, if we come all the way back around to it, are you even a little bit interested in a Netflix documentary on the fall and the departure?
You know why I am is because I do think Montreal deserves a second chance in the right environment with the right...
Splitting half a season with the Rays?
No. with the right stadium, yeah. And a team to call their own.
A 32,000 seat stadium in a decent spot.
I think they deserve the chance.
Baseball is a different world than it is.
To show that.
Yeah.
And I think they would show it.
Yeah.
And I think this documentary...
Shine a little light again.
Can only restart the ignition in the flames to be able to try and make that happen. Plus, this country does need another team. And I honestly, I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here. And this is not going to be directed at anybody, AJ. But there are certain people that... No, and it really bothers me. Like, it really... This is one of the things that you can...
I really hope I can get this clip.
Then you can
you
get to me.
Dinner tonight.
Yeah. So, I know, I'm going to see him later. And he's probably going to be really nice because he hasn't seen me in a while. And like, oh boy. But when people hear this, that'll all be done. And I'll have kicked him out and said I'm leaving and all that stuff. So, when the Toronto Blue Jays, who represent the entire country...
Mm-hmm.
And when I said that, a lot of people get their backs up because the word Toronto
mm-hmm.
means that it's not representing the entire country. And when there's only one team...
I was at Real Sports Ottawa in the Byward Market.
Right.
2013, Game 7, Sens Leafs. It was 4-1. I'm walking after the game up to the bus to go home. And I'm wearing my Leaf jersey, and it's raining. It would have been right out of a movie, right? Like my mood reflected in the weather. Some guy leans out the passenger side of his window and or of his car and screams, "Fuck Toronto!" as he drives by me, which felt good. Felt really nice.
Yeah,
he's wearing a Raptors hat. You're like, I get it, but could you at least just tighten it up a little? Fuck the Leafs or something, right? The rest of the country loves to hate Toronto, unless they're a baseball fan or a basketball fan, in which the case they kind of got to draw this tiny little circle on, but this part, this is us, this thing, this is Canada's thing, not just your thing. Like, well, all right.
And it is, especially the Raptors, where...
Why more the Raptors than the Jays?
When the Raptors won the world championship...
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, maybe not more than the Jays. But I think with baseball, there's a little bit, like I can hear...
Jays fans across the country travel
across the
more
country.
Than Raptors
I know.
Fans.
And then you'll hear people, who I won't name, AJ, that will tell me about...
God, AJ.
Like, the people in Vancouver, they support Seattle. And that's it. They don't like Toronto. And people in Alberta, they don't like Toronto. And like...
You take
AJ,
one look at the Mariners ballpark
AJ,
every time the Jays roll in.
Like, honestly... I get it. you're really stuck to this position. And there are a few people in this country that, especially on the East Coast, that like the Red Sox.
Or like the Twins,
and
or like the Mariners.
Some people in the West Coast that like the Mariners.
Sure.
Like, I get it. In Winnipeg, Manitoba, they like the Twins. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand. There's some people.
Yep.
But the majority of people in this country, when there's one team in the NBA and a baseball fan, they support. In 2015 with the bat flip, go to a bar in Ottawa. Go to a bar in Montreal. Go to a bar anywhere.
In Moose Jaw.
And see how many people are in that bar, and you can't get in, going crazy about the bat flip. And I was in a bar in Gatineau.
Were you lost?
No, I lived there. I was...
Were you lost?
Nope.
I'll just rent here.
I loved living in Gatineau. It is so...
Half the real estate, none of the taxes.
It is... What... Anyway. I love the people of Gatineau, and the people of Gatineau who try harder and take a bad rap, because they're the ones that always have to deal with the stupid people from Ontario going, well, I don't like
stupid
Quebec.
People.
Yeah, like it's this weird bias. Like, oh my God, I crossed the river and suddenly things are crazy different. They're not that different. And the people over there who speak both languages try harder than you do in Ontario when you don't speak two languages, by the way.
I don't have to.
Okay, so I am talking to you.
I speak one poorly, but I speak it. Why do I need to speak two languages?
My point is I was in a bar in Gatineau.
That part
with a bunch of other, I was going to call them pro athletes, but they're in the CFL, semi-pro athletes. That
what a fucking shot.
I know.
They're pros.
No, they don't play anymore. I can say anything they want.
Semi-pro.
But of
this is how we've used the CFL.
No, I love the CFL. Like, you know, I love the CFL, so you're not going to get me on this.
Okay.
Anyway, it was like you couldn't get into the bar, but we found a way in. And in one of the games, it wasn't even the final game. The Raptors would go down and they'd hit a bucket, and it's 2-0. Crowd's going crazy. And it's like, it's 2-0. You understand it's going to end up like 110 to 108 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it was bedlam in a bar in Gatineau for the Toronto Raptors. They're not really Toronto. They represent the country, just like the Blue Jays represent the country.
Mm-hmm.
And
I understand why that needs to be said, but I know who buys the tickets and... That's that. Let me just say...
What do you mean you know who buys the tickets? What do you mean?
I know that it's the people of Toronto who fill the stadium 81 nights a year.
That's not fair. I
You go down for a weekend and see two games.
And I think a lot of people in Ottawa or whatever, but you can't go down to every game. It's just not possible.
Right.
So you can support them through... Jays. No, it's not. You can support them through a lot of different ways without having to be... I know Buffalo Bills season ticket holders.
Like, half of them live within driving distance.
In Ottawa, I mean.
Oh. No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I can name them. You want me to name them?
Name and shame right here. I would say on the Expos dock, which is where this started.
Yes, this will now shine a light back on that, which might refuel something.
I was going to give my opinion, but...
Right. This isn't your show. You get four other days during a week.
It back to Lee. Yeah. Okay.
This will shine a light back on it. Where it might reignite a team, which I would like. Would you like that?
Thank you. Yeah. It's got very little...
Pistachio. Ha ha.
It's got very little for me to do with any sympathy for the Expos, which I admit I developed. It's just Netflix does this stuff really well. And I imagine I would be intrigued by this story, even if it wasn't the one and only other... Like, if you had said to me, Netflix is producing a documentary on what made the Brooklyn Dodgers leave for L.A., I'd go, I probably want to watch that, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but do you think Netflix does things so that they can do it well and the story will die?
No, I certainly... Well, I don't think that Netflix is producing this with a vested interest in whether or not MLB ever returns to Montreal.
You don't think there's even a possibility that they're doing that?
No, I don't. I think that they are now an international company, mm-hmm. and you want to do things that are going to attract interest in each of these countries, especially at this point as we talk about, you know, the federal government trying to get these international streaming companies to do more local content, right? If you're going to broadcast here, maybe not quite to the same level as the CanCon rules in other industries, but you're going to have to show a little bit of love here. If Netflix wants to draw more Canadian interest, this is an interesting way to do it. And so I think that would be a part of it. I don't think after they produce that documentary, they really give a shit whether MLB ever comes back to Montreal. But I think this is an interesting story. Like I said, what made Brooklyn Dodgers leave for LA? What made the Giants leave? Like, these are things I'm interested in as a sports fan who likes sports history. And these, I'm intrigued on that front entirely more than I am on, oh, it was a Canadian team that left for Washington. They stunk in Washington for a long time, too.
But I think you're being a little bit naive to that Netflix would want to produce and put the money and time into something that people would go, oh, that, you know what? You told that story really well, but the story's over. Netflix is just starting to get into the...
So you think we want to fire up, we want to help get the Expos back and then be the broadcaster?
Okay, I don't know that it's that linear that suddenly...
It's not. Netflix be pushed out by Bell or Rogers the second day.
Yeah, but okay. But you don't think also that there's something in the ability to tell stories like that and get into the baseball world so that they can secure a spot? They have, and I hate to go back to wrestling, but this is a good example of, in 2025, Monday Night Raw is going to air exclusively, and the WWE will air exclusively on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. In Canada.
Yeah. But they're...
Actually, everywhere except the U.S.
Right. Worldwide.
Yes.
Except the U.S.
Yeah. So I certainly will grant you they're moving in the direction of live sports.
I don't think you do something in the world of professional sports that has the possibility of going live without...
I think you're giving them way too much credit here.
No,
I don't think they did F1 thinking we're going to get the F1 rights. I don't think they did tennis thinking we're about to get the tennis rights. I don't think they did the golf one thinking we're about to get the golf rights. I think you partner with these companies. You do develop a relationship so you can do more series like these.
You show people that you can do things. And I think getting into the world
of sports...
But
the difference of a documentary series, like the one that the Expos are going to do, the golf, the tennis, the F1, is very different than being the rights holder to every
I understand.
Event.
So let's just play this out. That Netflix does this. There's a refueling of a
Expos
team...
Expos love.
A team in Montreal.
Yep.
Whether that's through Bell or Rogers or whoever that's through.
Sure.
Where do you think that team would come from? Do you think it'd be expansion or do you think it'd be a move?
Well, did we not just hear in the last week they had kind of pinned down a couple of their next two expansion cities? So I guess a move?
Right.
Like, we're hearing...
So I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
So now if it's a move...
Doesn't it feel like that's still they're waiting if the Tampa thing were to fall apart?
Yes.
The Jays being in the AL East.
Oh, 100%.
Off to Montreal.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And this is exactly where I'm going with this. So now Netflix does this thing on the Expos and the Expos kind of get going again and suddenly we get something from Tampa and now Netflix is like, okay. Now they're back in the U.S. market. Now they're looking at live sports. And now they don't, I don't think they care about the Montreal Expos to have their rights for the next 20 years. But what I do think is that they can tell stories in baseball that are relevant. And they also are going to prove with the WWE that they can produce live weekly shows.
They don't have to prove that to WWE anymore.
No, to everybody else. They're using the WWE to prove to everybody else.
I believe that part.
That they are able to produce live sporting events and do it very well. And suddenly there's now...
I just think those are two different conferences.
A team in Tampa or a team somewhere else that's coming from Montreal. Now you can tell that story, and now you can move right in.
I don't think they're tied like that. I just think that Netflix has done enough of these documentaries that this is the next one. I'm sure they'll do it well.
But who has interest in this beyond...
I think people like me who just said they would have watched the departure of the St. Louis Cardinals, the football team, right? Like the sports history fans, or, you know, sports fans who like these sort
of
docs.
Do you think U.S. sports history fans want to watch about the Montreal
Expos? That's a fair question. Like, when it happens north of the border, do I really care? That's a fair question.
So why are they doing this? You can't tell me because Netflix as a whole cares about the few Canadians that have this diehard.
We don't know what their Canadian downloads are like, what their Canadian streams are like. Is this a just another look? They spend a lot of money on a lot of things that not a lot of people are going to care about. They do that in the hopes of making really good stuff. And so if they're worried about the federal government starting to press them on having to bow to CanCon and things like that, maybe we can fight that off a little bit. Look, we're doing this one voluntarily. It's a good story.
Maybe. I don't think Netflix, though, who's dealing out billions and billions of dollars, doesn't have the foresight to look past this to see what it can do for them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think they produce this to go, hey, we produced a really, really good doc on the Montreal Expos, and now we're finished. I don't think that's
no,
the end of the story.
I don't think they'll be finished either. And if nothing else, even if it's nothing about a team's broadcast rights, they can say to MLB, hey, maybe let us in. We'll do your equivalent to the NFL's, you know, NFL films or these sorts of things.
I think it's a gateway to something else. And
so your interest level in actually watching the thing, 1 to 10?
7.
That might be a little higher, but not much. It's about that. It's about 7 or 8. Like, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good. But if for whatever reason I'm, you know, it kind of slips my mind that way. Like, I didn't care about the Alexander Daigle thing with the Sens when it happened, when I heard they were doing a doc. And that might not even been Netflix. I can't remember which one that landed on. It might have been Prime, actually. I went and watched it. I thought they did a nice job. Like, these streaming companies are doing a really good job telling those stories. Have you seen that one since you've been back in town? It's really good. It's just called Chosen One. And like
the Chosen
One.
Yeah.
It's really good. They've got another one coming on Prime later this year about... it's called Saving Sakic, and it's when the Rangers tried to put in whatever they call it, a RFA. Or a,
yeah. The,
they were trying to steal him away
signing
from the Avs. Yes.
And have to give away the compensatory picks.
All of these things, right? And so Colorado at the time, despite being a good team, did not yet have the money, in theory, to... So those things, just in general, are interesting to me as a hardcore sports fan. And so I don't look any deeper necessarily into what they're trying to establish, but these are good stories. I didn't care about Daigle at the time. I thought the doc 20 years later was pretty good.
So I agree with you. The docs are awesome.
Yeah.
I just think when you talk about Prime or you talk about Netflix,
they have ulterior motives all the time.
These are, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars that they're talking about, and they don't do stuff for no reason so they can get a couple of people in Canada to watch their doc. There's ulterior
motives. Sometimes,
though,
it's other people who've already produced it and then go and try and sell it to the highest bidder.
Yeah,
it's not
for
necessarily
sure.
Netflix that. So,
but if they get themselves involved in it, which I think, again, for folks who don't know, the first time they're going to produce live weekly television is in 2025 when they're going to show wrestling.
Yeah.
And I know that that doesn't matter to a lot of people, but forget the term wrestling and insert whatever live sporting event, and if Netflix proves that
or
they can do
anything,
that,
Melrose Place 2024 is weekly live on Netflix. Not just stream it whenever you want. If you want to watch it, The Bachelor, what, like, I don't know what cool people
those
are
aren't
watching
live,
these,
though.
But they're instead of saying it's going to be on Fox at 8 o'clock at first viewing, it will be on Netflix.
Yeah,
at
but that's
8 o'clock.
But that's different. Those are pre-produced shows. Doing live sporting events is much, much different.
I guess. I think we're going to get to a point where these services are churning out appointment viewing at the same way television used to. So
we can finally agree at the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
We can finally agree.
I don't know if you want to take a quick scroll through your Twitter machine there before we wrap up. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to hit on, but there has been moves in the NHL. I don't know how many of them have. I thought for the Oilers, they've gone out and grabbed Adam Henrique and Connor Carrick. Henrique is a guy I thought might fit kind of nice with the Leafs. He's a little slow, but they're kind of slow. He would have been responsible between Bertuzzi and Nylander for me in a way that Max Domi is not capable of being, and that would have allowed Tavares to stay on another line. But he and Carrick are going to Edmonton. I think that's a nice pickup for the Oilers. We've seen the Capitals today re-up Rasmus Sandin for a few years at $4.6 million. Look, the Caps aren't going to be good for a while. They need somebody to play these minutes. I guess that's how that gets done. There's a few things floating around. But there's 2 days still until the NHL trade deadline. Anything else you're seeing there that you want to comment
on? Well, Vlad Tarasenko.
We did that.
Yeah, I know. But that led to my point. See, sometimes I'm long-winded. I don't know if you know this.
Go fuck yourself.
But it takes me a while to get to my point. So yeah. The Vlad Tarasenko thing seemed to lead to a couple of more deals that ended up happening.
Sens, man. They're trendsetters.
No. But.
Trend enders.
So, Sean Walker goes to...
Yeah, from the Flyers.
To the Colorado Avalanche for a first-round pick. Ryan Johansson, also in the deal, he is quickly put on waivers by the Philadelphia
Flyers. So, Flyers
don't
want him. It's just, we'll take this from you.
Right, and then we'll put him on waivers. Yeah. But
and he's not getting close.
So, the Avs have traded first-round pick to Philly for Sean Walker.
Is that too much, do you think?
Yes.
I kind of do too, but that first round pick is also partly so they'll take Johansson.
Correct.
Sean Walker on his own is not worth a first. Sean Walker coming in and you taking Johansson, that's where you get that.
Right. Yeah. And then it wasn't long thereafter where pretty big deal. I mean, Casey Mittelstadt goes from the Buffalo Sabres to the Colorado Avalanche for Byram. And
what do you think of that?
I think the Buffalo Sabres are loading their defense up.
I do, too. And,
like, you look at some of the...
Colorado's got to have another center coming, right? Like, they're not depending on Mittelstadt to be their 2C, are they?
I don't think so.
No.
And...
Because I like Mittelstadt. He hasn't quite panned out yet.
And better players, better organization.
Yeah, no, that's right. And
that
the clock
stuff.
Is ticking, better surrounding cast. Yeah. But his time had come in Buffalo. It wasn't going to work there. But what Buffalo gets in Bo and Byram, I like this deal better for them than
God.
I do for Colorado. You mentioned defense. Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, and now you're going to drop Bo and Byram in
Yoki
there.
Haru,
that's going to be a menace in this division for a while.
They got
Could you please, people, stop dropping your best prospects into the Atlantic division? That'd be great.
You're worried about it from Toronto's perspective.
Yes, I am.
We're worried about it from Ottawa's perspective. Yeah. But it's happening to both of us.
Yeah. Right? Well, and Ottawa's like, here you go, Florida. Why don't you take Tarasenko and you can go.
Okay, he's not that much to worry about. But now I wonder about the Jacob Chychrun stuff even more, because if Byram's off the market, like
the
Byram's been traded. But
Hanifin perhaps also going to either Florida or Tampa. So stop punting your stuff into our division.
Yeah, but who's a better defenseman? The best defenseman left on the market, if Chychrun's on the market, is Jacob Chychrun.
That's an interesting debate. Him and Hanifin?
He's better than Noah Hanifin. Yeah,
I really think so. I don't have a strong opinion on this, but I think it's an
close.
Interesting to be. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And that's fair. I think Chychrun's better. Okay. But sometimes when a defenseman like Byram gets traded, though, you're like, ooh, okay. Like, again, slotting and the next guy up and all of that stuff. I think, as you said, I think you're accurate about the Colorado Avalanche doing a bunch of stuff here to load up, and I don't think that they're done.
No.
But I look at Buffalo and go, ooh, they're better.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this deal for them. And look, there's still every chance that Mittelstadt could turn into something there, as you suggest, in a better organization.
But for now,
this is a good deal for Buffalo.
I actually think Mittelstadt will turn out to be a little bit better in Colorado, but Byram's a hell of a player.
Yeah,
100%. To be able to... you know, put him into a defense corps that already has Dahlin and Power and Jokiharu and Is it Samuelson? Yeah, that's there. Like
Matias Samuelson.
Holy cow. Their group on the decor is
well, I guess, you know, knowing that Buffalo was going to miss again, some teams came knocking on Alex Tuck and the Sabres told him to go piss up a rope, right? Like, that's a local guy they want to keep. And so they're, look, we did this a year ago. We thought Ottawa and Buffalo would be knocking on the door of the playoff race and Detroit maybe just a little behind them. And for whatever reason, this year, Detroit took the step.
Patrick King.
And it turns out, like a little over a point a game after kind of a slow start, but which maybe we should have expected. Yeah.
Some big goals that he's had.
But we didn't expect, I don't think, either one of us, that Detroit would be this far ahead of Ottawa and Buffalo this year. And so they'll be in, too, by the time the deadline hits. I'm sure Detroit will try and do something to make this a little more... Like, at this point, it looks like they're going to have to play the Rangers in round one, and that's a tough go.
Yeah.
But
who are the Leafs on course to play?
Right now, Boston. Ooh. Yeah.
Who did they play last night?
Yeah, Monday night, they played the Bruins. Night, by the time the good listener hears this, the Leafs will have played the Sabres on Wednesday
night.
Thank
God.
So, well, we'll see. And then they got Boston again Thursday. So,
you worried about Boston?
Sure. Yeah, I think no matter who the Leafs, it's going to be the Bruins or the Panthers. I think the Leafs will be the underdog in either one of them. But
really?
If
you think against the Panthers, they'd be the underdog?
You mean the Panthers who kicked the shit out of us last year and then got better this year? Yeah,
us.
I think that's a problem. I do that. I don't apologize for it anymore. I would rather play the Bruins.
No,
but
you
I
would
still
not.
Think you're the underdog. Of course, I unless they go out and do something stupid.
You're
like,
out of your mind.
What? I got Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle as their top two centers. You need to be able to handle that when you're playing Matthews and Tavares at the money they're making. You need to be able to outdo that.
Okay.
Now their defense is better. Look, I don't think either. I'm not trying to say the Leafs are a slam dunk favorite against Boston. I'm saying they're the underdog against both. If you force me to pick one, I'll take
I don't get too concerned about regular season stuff.
And honestly, too, Boston, pretty mediocre since a really hot start. Like, they've played more they have more overtime losses than anyone in the league, right? Single points kind of keeping them afloat there.
But I don't care about regular season.
Six in a row against Toronto. That part alarms me.
I don't care about regular season.
I'm getting that from you.
I do
you
care about the experience.
Yeah. Why don't I just sit back here?
I think you told me last time I was going to be the host, and I'm not the host, and I'm wondering why I'm not the host. But at some point, will I get there?
Yeah. At some point.
Because then I get to ask
you
questions.
Like maybe August when there's nothing happening. And
my favorite time of year. Because then I can talk about anything I want. It doesn't matter. Okay?
Like
don't think I don't love August.
That this time.
Look, it's great to be in the playoffs and know you're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're going to have to face a good team anyway.
Yep.
So the point is, getting back to the trades and some of the things that teams are doing, I think it's going to be in a very eventful couple of days. I'm looking forward to it. It's already started as we're recording.
Right.
This middle step for Byram deal is a hell of a deal that's happened.
It's by far for me the most interesting one we've seen.
As
far as buyer versus seller, I love Henrik and Carrick for the Oilers. I think that's a great deal for them. But in terms of like hockey trade, it's for sure that middle stat for Byram. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And if the Sens do deal Jacob Chychrun, the return is going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
If they decide to pull the trigger on that, I think we'll be talking about it for a while because
don't you think it's interesting that the
piece.
Second they got Johansson, they have a poof on like they made sure that deal was done before 2 p.m. so they could get him on waivers, indicating to me they're looking to do some other things. We can't have you clogging up our roster spots.
I would agree. And that's why the deal was made today, as you said, to give them the flexibility to go out and do other things.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a fun couple days. And when I think we reconvene next, there'll be a lot to talk about.
Anything else for today, man?
No, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think I'm done.
For this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
next week full of piss and vinegar.
I got a lot of things that bug me.
I used to just be full of vinegar.
You know, I pulled up the two drive-thrus.
What's that?
When you go to a drive-thru and there's two lanes.
Yeah, okay.
And there's two lanes.
Yeah.
Twice.
Are you about to drop another life hack on how to get
I'm not. I'm actually going to be pissed off. Okay. Twice it's happened to me since I've last talked to you. You pull into the lane that there's nobody at.
Yeah.
And you pull up to the speaker, and then three cars go by you on the other side. Oh, my God. I want to get... And it's not the people in the car's fault, but I want to get out and rip their heads off going, it's not your turn. Why are you ordering? I've been sitting here.
This is what he does to me when I try and give my opinion on the show. It's not your turn.
Well,
I've been sitting
2 hours in. Yeah. Give you the first half hours. Right. But anyway, twice it's happened to me where I've sat at the speaker and watched like two or three cars
maybe
go
you're
by me.
Too much time at the drive thru. Maybe.
Maybe they recognize me and go, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to that. It's probably a good point to end.
Yeah. Well, that's where we'll wrap this one up. It's been a good week around here. Episode 1268.
Say hi to Bunda for me.
I'm going to do that. Episode 1268. Was Angela Thompson from the Lake of Bays Brewing Company. 1269, Dean Brown, longtime Sens play-by-play man on the brawl to end it all between the Sens and the Flyers 20 years ago this week. Episode 1270, our friend Andrea from the Bytown Beer Sisters. And they got a great event coming up on March 16th, 5 o'clock p.m. Check out at Bytown Beer Sisters on Instagram. Terrific fundraiser. They're going to be drinking craft beer. They're going to be giving stuff away. They're going to be watching PWHL Ottawa. That's going to be fun. And episode 1272 drops Friday morning with our friend Steve Bunda. Lots of UFC talk. And no doubt a couple more NHL trades on the on the agenda by then, man. It's been a good show.
Nice. It's been fun.
Glad you came back in to do this.
Pistachio. Ho, ho.
Yeah. That's where we'll end this for Lee.
I know. Like, I understand. Like, we're not getting to this beer again, so I got to get all my ho-hos out.
Get his shit in.
Yeah.
For Lee Versade, I'm Matt Robinson.
Ho-hos out, shit in. Yeah, yeah. It's the same.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for showing up. It was fucking amazing. Sorry.